Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu Perek Gimel. This is a fascinating perek in so many respects. This perek really essentially addresses the Northern Kingdom. The Northern Kingdom, you say, well, weren't they exiled? And that's precisely the point. This is one of those moments in history that Yirmiyahu addresses the Northern Kingdom who've already been exiled. There is lots of evidence to suggest that not all the Jews were in fact exiled from the Northern Kingdom. Many remained in Golos in the northern area as a vassal state to Assyria. And in fact, afterwards, there were many in surrounding kingdoms. Were there any attempts made to reunify the kingdom, to bring them back? And the answer is absolutely. In the times of Chizkiyahu, yes. And so again in the times of Yoshiyahu or HaMelech. It's almost like a messianic moment of trying to bring back those who are lost. So this is what we're going to see Yirmiyahu doing. This obviously in the earlier ages, the earlier times in Yirmiyahu's life, because he's in the times of Yoshiyahu, the first king that he prophesied during his reign. So let's look at this parak and just focus on a few points, just basic overview and some points to ponder as we go through it. The first section, which runs from Aleph to Dalet, is a prophecy which Yirmiyahu gives unto the kingdom. It's not clear if this is to Yehuda or to Yisrael, to the south or to the north. But basically the general gist is the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's like that you are my partner, my marriage partner, and you've now gone, you've left me, I've divorced you. There's a halacha in the Torah, Yirmiyahu says, and that is that there's an isra of machzir grushasai. That let's say a person, right, there's a relationship which is not working, and there's a divorce which ensues. And there's a marriage in between, there cannot be a reconsummation of that marriage. Right? You can't do that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but I will take you back. Why? The Malbim explains that the reason is because I understand, Israel, that even though you were wayward, even though you fraternized, and he describes in great and gross detail how you at the crossroads, you know, having illicit relationships with every other person or every other nation, Israel, that you saw. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I realized it was not lahachis, it wasn't ideological. It was because you were driven by lust, you were driven by indulgence. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it wasn't really as if you had a separate relationship to prevent you coming back. And that's what ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that he's going to come back. He points out in this section, Yirmiyahu says, that you were so brazen, you were so unashamed, that when you refused to accept your guilt or your part in this, and even when I stopped the rain, then you suddenly come along and you say, ah, me answer he call him, you refuse to get it to be embarrassed. But halameata karas li avi aluf narayata, and then you suddenly turn to me and said, oh Father, I need you. And Kosh Baruch Hu says, wait a second, I'm waiting for you. You need to take the first step of tshuva. If you're not gonna recognize me, you just call out to me when you need, then so sorry, that's just not the way it's gonna work. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. This ends the Radak points out is that therefore that ultimately the power, the control of this relationship is put in our hands. It's not waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's waiting for us. Second point in the section in this parak is power pasuk vav to yud. Hashem calls out to Israel. It says, "Vayomer Hashem elai bimei Yoshiyahu Melech, ha-ro'is asher osasa meshuva Yisrael." Have you seen what meshuva Yisrael has done? Meshuva comes from obviously a return. And he describes how the Northern Kingdom as well also rebelled, also had illicit relationships with all these other countries. They cut deals with Aram, they cut deals with Egypt, they made all these other deals. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and I threw them out. The Gamba calls us le shavo elai, but they didn't return to me, Yirmiyahu says. It's actually, as it happens to be a debate in the Mefarshim, in this section, if it's addressed to Israel and the sort of, you know, exasperation for their lack of self-awareness, or whether it's actually addressed to Yehuda, the Southern Kingdom, saying, well, look what they did. Why didn't you learn from them? And Malbim and Rashi argue about this. Anyways, moving to the last two sections of this parak, where it gets very fascinating, is Pasuk Yud Aleph to Tezayin. Tezayin is the next section, or Yud Zayin, where Yirmiyahu now basically calls to the Northern Kingdom, and he says, I want you to return. Shuvu bonim shavavim u'm Hashem. Please, children, return. The wayward children return. And the Malbim points out the reason why he calls them to the children, he says, because your parents wouldn't return, but maybe you will. Maybe you have a different perspective on life, which will allow you to return. He says, even if it's going to be one or two from every family, let there be a tshuva movement that we don't fully lose all of you. And how does he do this? This has been suggested already. In the times of Yechizkiel, there was an attempt to reunify those who are lost. But they weren't interested. The northern kingdom was so far gone. They were so disenfranchised. They were so disconnected. They were so connected to the cultures around them. They had no interest in return. How is Yirmiyahu going to repackage this in a way which he can potentially re-enfranchise that northern kingdom to be able to create unity? So he says something remarkable. This explanation is to be found in Rabbi Binyamin Lau's Sefer on Yirmiyahu. And he suggests a very fascinating idea. Listen to the pasuk and listen to what Yirmiyahu is really saying. When you will spread and you'll increase in that land, Noam Hashem says Hashem, Lo yamru oed Aron bris Hashem, V'lo yale ale, V'lo yizkuru boi, V'lo yifkadu, V'lo yase oed. You're not going to be thinking about the Ark of the Covenant. See what Yirmiyahu is doing? Yirmiyahu is now de-emphasizing the centrality of the Aron. Why is that true? Because think about the chip on the shoulder of the Northern Kingdom for all these years. All these years they felt that they had the Mishkan in Shiloh for those 369 years, but then the Beis Hamikdash moved to Yehuda and Binyamin, and when the kingdom split, then the gods were set up on the other boundaries, and the northern kingdom was never able to visit. And they always felt, well, why is the shrine of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, isn't that Heichal, is the Beis HaMikdash, in the southern territory? We have Beis El, we can also sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu here. Says Yirmiyahu, don't worry. There'll be an abundance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence to a degree that potentially it won't be as much of a focus. Yeah, fascinating, fascinating point. Did this succeed? We don't see necessarily that this succeeded, that people came back. This is what Yirmiyahu is suggesting. What a fascinating idea. And finally, at the end of the parak, there's the last little section which runs from Pasuk Yud Ches to Chav Hei, where once again he calls upon the northern and the southern kingdom together to come together to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're interested in the structure of this, you'll see there's actually a chiastic structure in the way he establishes this parak. So for instance, in the first little section, where he's talking to it seems to be Yehuda or Yisrael at that point. Listen to the ways he describes it. He says, "Se'i einayich al safayim uri efolay shochavt al drachim yoshavt lahem." Look to the high places and see. Was there any place you never had a relationship with some sort of foreigner? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. So in this last section, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Kol al shofayim nishma b'chisachununei b'nei Yisrael." Look at the high places and hear the calling out of Israel. So before, look to the high places, a place of disgusting relationships of foreigners bringing. Now, what do you hear on the high places? You hear the voice of Teshuvah. Similarly, in the first section, he said, "Halami ata koros liavi aluf norai ata." You called out to me, "Oh Father, help me," when there was no rain. And obviously, that was despicable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because no tshuva was done. But in the last section, listen to the way he says it. He's Va'amar, "Avi tikri'ili u'me'acharai toshuvi." You're going to call me my father, and there's going to be a homecoming now. So it's reframing that same phraseology, but now the phraseology is going to be in terms of the tshuva process. Last thing to focus on in this parak, which is fascinating, is the closing point of this parak focuses around one emotion. And that this seems to be the emotion which turns the tide of Yirmiyahu's prophecy. And that is, listen to Pasuk Chav Dalet, "V'aboishes achla is yigia vosenu minorinu v'estzoinom es bakorom es b'nehem es b'nosayhem." What consumed the work and the effort and the energy of our parents and our children was one word, and that is the word boishes, embarrassment. Well, think about what this means. On the one hand, the Chidah points out that if you think about what embarrassment does, embarrassment is a very, very powerful emotion which is put in us. It's almost like an inertia which prevents us from sinning because of the sheer embarrassment of being in a situation where people see what we've done wrong. There's such an utter embarrassment which prevents us from doing something wrong. However, what happens if we actually did it anyway? So we ignored that feeling. Well, now the embarrassment backfires. Now, instead of the embarrassment being something to prevent a person from getting somewhere, it's now the inertia which prevents them getting out of it. Which means, Yirmiyahu was identifying, don't worry, try to overcome the embarrassment which has hurt you. And when you realize that, you will realize that all the losses that you have dealt with is as a function of you're not willing to be embarrassed. Understand that the cost is much too high. That's what Yirmiyahu seems to be saying. And the Chida ends out by pointing out that the word boishes is actually the same letters as tashuv, as to return. That if you're able to reverse embarrassment, you're able to somehow succeed. Think about today. How many wars have been fought? How many wars of words have been fought by politicians, by leaders who have said something and feel the compulsion to be able to defend their words against naysayers, despite the fact that they're wrong, just because they need to defend their position? That's what Yirmiyahu is saying to the northern kingdom. That's what you need to overcome to return to me. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.